first. Go ahead and bring up my scripture in Galatians this morning. You'll recognize it from last week, so I'm going to pick up where I left off last week in Galatians. And then we're working on the stories of the Nativity, the birth of our Savior. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. We're going to talk about Zechariah a little bit this morning and call his name John. And I don't know where all we may jump in before it's all done, said and done. So, amen. But Galatians says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then the heir of God through Christ." How many would like to be an heir to a kingdom today? How many would like to be an heir to an inheritance beyond your comprehension of abilities? Five of you. Come on, how many in here would like to be an heir to a big inheritance this morning? Hallelujah. I'd like to find out that somebody left you a major inheritance this morning. You might not even known it was coming, but somebody who had a wealth of riches left you something that you have inherited today, a wealth that's beyond our comprehension and beyond our even understanding, I believe, of all that inheritance details. Amen? How many know Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly? Hallelujah. He came and died so that there could be a death, so that there could be a will enforced, and then he rose from the dead to be the testator of that will, to see to it we got everything that he promised to us. Amen? How many know we are heirs to that? We have an inheritance. We have the richness of the fullness of God. We have been called a son of God. And as a son, that gives us the right to an heir. Hallelujah. And the right to cry, Abba, Father, today. Hallelujah. You know, we understand that we are grafted in to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That when Jesus came, he came not just for natural Israel, just for the natural Jew, but he came for a Jew which was one spiritually. He came for Jew and Gentile, that now all of us have the same right, the same opportunity to receive everything that our Father God has for us. Hallelujah. When the fullness of time had come. See, I love that scripture because it's your moment, it's your day, and it's your season. I mean, we talked last week that they were waiting for hundreds of years for God to fulfill prophecies. Isaiah prophesied approximately 700 years before the coming of the Messiah that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and that they would call his name Jesus, and he would save his people from his sins. Micah prophesied, Malachi prophesied, Isaiah said, "For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Somebody say no end today. Hallelujah. So the fullness of time, they were waiting for the fullness of time. How many know God does things in his time and in his season? Hallelujah. We said before, he's the only one that can be 4 days late and still be on time. Hallelujah. I mean, no, when they had called for Lazarus, and they said, "Your friend Lazarus is dead. You've got to come." And the scripture says, and Jesus tarried for 4 days. And he said to him, "Lazarus sleepeth." They said, "Well, Lord, if he's asleep, that's a good thing." He said, "No, Lazarus is dead." And he said, "We're going to go to him." And the disciples said, "Well, we'll go mourn with him then." He said, "No, I'm going because God is about to do something outside of your realm or your box of understanding. It is the fullness of time. It is Lazarus' day and Lazarus' season." How many know when Jesus comes to the tomb and he gets to the house of Mary and Martha, they said, "Lord, if you'd have just been here, my brother would not have died." Lord, if you had been on time, my brother would not have died. And he looked at her, he said, Mary, I am the resurrection and I am the life. She said, I know you are in the sweet by and by, and over yonder, one more valley, one more hill at my mansion next door to Jesus. I know that. And how many know we still, hundreds of years, thousands of years later, still have the same mentality that I know in the sweet by and by there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, and, you know, one more valley, one more hill. I'm just a weary pilgrim passing through. Where I come to tell you this morning, I'm not a weary pilgrim passing through, but I am an heir and a joint heir to him that said I can have life and I can have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And so they're waiting for another day and another season over and beyond and over there. And I believe in over there. All right, I believe in the realm of the unseen. I believe in the realm of the heavens. But I believe we need to experience heaven right here before we ever get on over there. And I believe as saints of God, we can walk from here to there and not have to experience the sorrow or the sting of death. Hallelujah. Because I'm an heir and a joint heir with him. I have a right to a kingdom and an inheritance right here and right now. Hallelujah. How many want to live an abundant life right now? He said, I come that you can have life, an abundant life, more than enough. Hallelujah. And so I refuse to live less than what God said that I can have. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you just got to refuse? Sometimes you just got to say no to some things. Hallelujah. Sickness, no. You have no place in my body. Hallelujah. We know sometimes we got to stand on the word and standing on his promises. Our body doesn't always line up with what our mind is saying. I mean, know sometimes we just got to speak to ourselves. Hallelujah. And we got to declare some things from a heavenly realm into our earthly being. Amen. And so it said when the fullness of time had come. Hallelujah. And so there had been about a 400-year season where there had not been a prophetic voice or had been no open vision where God just seemed like God had not been talking to his people. And the people had been through all kinds of struggles and they were under Roman rule at this time. And the people would go and they would be praying before God for the redemption of Israel, for everything that God promised, that they could see it come to pass. So I want to go to Luke this morning. Chapter 1 and verse, I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. The scripture says there, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. It's the time when Zechariah goes into the temple. If you understand anything about the temple, you understand that there was an outer court, an inner court, and a most holy place. An outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. The outer court was for the people to come to offer their sacrifices. It was where we find the altar sacrifice, where the sacrifice is given. It's also where we find the brazen laver outside there. But how many know that only the priest could enter into the holy place, and only the high priest could enter into the most holy place one time a year? And they would go in there to into the most holy place to offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people that God would give for forgiveness to the people, but they would go into the altar of incense and they would offer an incense to the Lord. And that incense would be hot coals that would be burning on the altar of incense, and they would put the fragrance on, and the fragrance would go up and it would cause a cloud of smoke, and an incense would rise and a fragrance would come up. And that was symbolic of the prayers and the petitions of the people. And then they would pray a prayer for the redemption of Israel. They would pray that the Messiah would come, that they would pray that there would be peace on earth, and they would pray that God would hear the prayers of the people and come deliver them from their oppression and the state of their nation that they were in at the time. Now, Zechariah was after the order of the Levitical priest. He was of the house of Abijah and Elizabeth of the house of Aaron. They were of that order of the priest. And if you were born into that order, you were automatically in line to be a priest in the temple, but not everybody got the opportunity to go into the most holy place and offer an incense. They would cast lots. In other words, it was like drawing straws. And if you got the opportunity, it was a once-in-a-lifetime shot, and you got to go in there in that place where it was just you and the altar of incense, the table of showbread, the candlelight, the candlestick that was in there, and you would go into that place and you would offer, you were the one that were chosen to offer the prayers and the praises and offer them the incense unto God, to the people. And you were the only one to be in there. And after you were done, you would come back out and you would pray with the people, and you would pray that God received your prayer, that maybe while you were there, God would answer the prayer that people had prayed for hundreds of years, that God would send the Messiah and that he would come and fulfill his word for the redemption of Israel. Now, Zechariah gets called to go into that lot, and he's in the temple, and he's offering the incense while the lamb is roasting on the altar of sacrifice out in the outer court, while the lamb is being offered on the altar of sacrifice and the incense is rising. Zechariah is in the temple, and he's praying the prayers. And here's the scripture says it was his turn to go into the temple to burn incense. And while the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Everybody say John. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." Well stricken in years. "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." So here we have Zechariah. He's in the temple. It's the once in a life once in a lifetime chance to offer the incense in the temple. He's in there by himself. And as I told you before, nobody else is to be in there but the high priest. And all of a sudden on this day, when Zechariah is in the temple, something different happens. Now, it starts out by saying that Elizabeth and Zechariah are righteous before the Lord, and they're walking in all the statutes of the Lord, but they were barren. How many know sometimes bad things happen to good people? How many know sometimes it's not about what you've done? You know, sometimes people want to put on you, it must be your actions, it must be a curse from God, it must be because you're not living right. How many know sometimes things just happen, and we don't know why they happen, but they happen. Hallelujah. But nothing escapes God's mind or God's vision for you. And so here is Zechariah, and he's in the temple, and he's offering the incense. He's offering the prayers to God. Thank God that he didn't get detained or get weary with offering the prayers. How many know they've been doing this for many, many seasons, praying that God will answer the same prayer, and yet have not seen the fulfillment of it? Anybody ever prayed a prayer for a long time and you might not quite have seen it come to pass? What I want to tell you this morning, don't quit doing what you're doing. I mean, the scripture says they still walked upright before God. They still offered prayer and praise unto God. They still lived by what they knew was right. And he's in the altar before of incense, and he's offering the incense to God. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to him. And the scripture says that Zechariah is fearful. Now, he's fearful for one, because nobody else is supposed to be in there but him. Number two, when Gabriel shows up at your door, how many know he's got your attention? Hallelujah. And he begins to say some things to Zechariah that I think begins to make Zechariah's head spin. He said, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. If I said to you this morning, your prayers have been answered, would you know which prayer that I'm talking about? Anybody only got one prayer in? Nobody. I mean, if you're like me, you got a whole bunch of prayers in. There's some things I'm looking for to happen. There's some things I'm praying for. There's some things I'm believing God for. So if God would show up to me this morning and said, Lisa, your prayers have been answered, I say, which one we talking about, Lord? Which prayer? All of them? I'll take that. Are you talking about the consolation of Israel? Are you talking about the redemption? Are you talking about the Messiah coming? Are you talking about the baby boy I've been praying for? What prayer are you talking about, God? What prayer has been answered? He said, your prayer has been answered. Here's what I think he's talking about. The prayer that he's praying for the people of Israel and the redemption of Israel and the Messiah that is to come, God is about to answer that prayer. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law, that he could redeem us from the curse of the law. It is the fullness of time has come in the season of Zechariah, and God is about to fulfill his promise to them. But guess what? He's going to answer another one of Zechariah's prayers. He says, Zechariah, I'm not just going to answer the prayers of all Israel. I'm going to do it through your loins. And I'm going to do it through loins that looked as if they were dead. And I'm going to use a womb that looks like it's past her season and past her time. I'm going to do the miraculous in spite of your situation and in spite of your season. You know, sometimes it looks like you might be in a barren season. Don't anybody raise your hand, but you ever had them times in your life that feels like, Lord, this just seems like a barren season to me. It seems like that nothing has happened according to the way that I thought it should happen. God, I'm crying out for some things. I'm trusting you for some things, God. But it seems like barrenness all the way around me. I mean, you know, when God begins to do his purpose, what he does sometimes is takes what seems to be barren in your life and seems to be past its day and seems to be dried up and done gone, and then he turns around and does the miraculous, and you can't do nothing but give God praise and give God glory because you know this is a God thing. Hallelujah. How many know I love those times when you just know it's a God moment. You just know it's a God thing. When God just intervenes and comes through for you, whatever way it is, in whatever time or season. Hallelujah. And what he says is, I'm going to use your loins, Zachariah, and I'm going to use your wife, Elizabeth. Now, old Zach, he's like a lot of us. He says, how in the world is this going to happen? Now, I already talked to you last week about Sarah. She laughed. She's like me. I identify with Sarah. I probably just have that hysterical laughing fit, and then I say, yeah, right. I mean, come on, right? You all laughed last week when I told you I was expecting. I'm expecting God to move. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting great things. Anybody else in here expecting this morning? Hallelujah. Because unless you're expecting, you can't bring forth anything. I mean, no, the seed of God has to be planted in your heart. And when it does, it grows up out of its place and it begins to bring forth fruit in you, that your fruit right remain. Hallelujah. I'm expecting today. And I want everybody to know that I'm expecting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, not in the natural, in the spirit. Let me clear that for the CD. And the podcast, so that don't get out there, you know, that God did another miracle. Hallelujah. But how many know he says to Zechariah, I'm going to use you to do what you think's impossible, Zechariah. He said to Abraham, I'm going to bring forth out of your loins seed that's going to be as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. Man, that sounds like a good prophecy. You're like, yeah, all right, bring it on, God, except we don't have any kids. And Sarah, as I told you already, went through menopause. She's past the change. She's already beyond her day. It seems like things are dried up and already past her season. Hallelujah. How many? But it's not about your season. It's about his season. It's a season of hope. It's a season of miracles. And so Zechariah, like most of us, says, how in the world can this be? How can this come to pass? How can God do this? My wife Elizabeth is old. We're past our day. I'm just doing my once in a lifetime stint in the temple. I finally got to offer incense. I've been waiting all my life as a priest to come in before God and offer that incense, the prayer and the praise of the people, in hopes that maybe God would hear my prayer. And maybe God would begin to ease the stress and the hurt that's happening in my nation and in my people. And now all of a sudden, God's starting to say, I'm going to do what you prayed, Zechariah. I'm not only going to do what you prayed, I'm going to do it through you and in you. I'm going to bring it forth out of your house. Can I tell you this morning, God wants to bring forth his miraculous work out of your house. I don't care what your house looks like. It might look desolate. It might look barren. It might look like it's beyond your day. But I want to declare and prophesy over this house that in the loins of everyone in this house, there is a seed of God, that God wants to bring forth his greatness and his miracles. If you'll just stand still, if you'll just allow God to do what he said he would do, if you'll believe God. How many know Zechariah and Elizabeth stood firm in what they knew despite every circumstance around them? I'm going to bring it forth out of you, Zechariah. I want to use your house to touch the nations. I want to use your loin to produce the one who will prepare the way of the Lord, that's going to get my people ready for the coming of the Messiah. I mean, the last thing Micah says is, I'm going to send forth one in the spirit of Elijah. And he's going to turn the hearts to the children, to the fathers, and the fathers to their children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I mean, the last thing of the Old Testament is smite with a curse. The last thing of the New Testament is grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you all. Amen. How many know grace is the last word of the New Testament? Hallelujah. And so he says to Zechariah what he's going to do. And Zechariah begins to question God. And God said, how can this thing be? And Gabriel says to Zechariah, because you did not believe me, I'm going to leave you. You're going to be dumb and you're going to be speechless until I bring to pass everything that I said that I was going to do. I don't know about you, but I love those moments sometimes where God leaves me speechless. And what I mean by that is, there's sometimes that God's doing something that I just can't explain. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to tell you about it. I don't know how to cause you to feel the encounter that I had. I don't know how to cause you to feel what I'm feeling inside of me, but there's just sometimes that God leaves me speechless, and I don't know what he's doing, but I know he's doing something, and so I'm going to lift up one hand without wrath and one hand without doubt, and I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm not going to try to call it anything except what God says that it is. Hallelujah. How many know we sing the song Silent Night, Holy Night, always calm, always bright? How many know Zechariah had some silent nights? As if 400 years of silence was not enough, now there's 9 months more of silence where Zechariah just can't explain the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And so when he goes out, he's been a long time in offering the incense and the prayer and the praise of the people. And they would come out, and when they would come out, the people would wait in expectation and hopes that while they were there, God would have said something, that God would have showed himself. And how many know when Zechariah comes out, now he can't even tell them what has been happening there. But I'm guessing when he comes out, he looks a little bit different than when he went in. Now, maybe he's got that long, I don't know, look on his face. Maybe he's got that deer in the headlight, like. But how many know he does not have any words to explain what he's just experienced in God? And when he goes out, he's got that look. I can't tell you what just went on in there. But I had an encounter with an angelic host. The angel messenger of God named Gabriel just stopped by for a visit, and he said, our prayers have been answered. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not only have all of our prayers been answered, but he's picked my house to bring forth what he's going to do in the earth. He's going to bring forth out of me the one who will prepare the Messiah. And I can't even tell you about it. I can't articulate it. I can't voice it because I can't speak. Hallelujah. And so he comes out at the time of the incense. And the scripture tells us then, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. How many know sometimes when it seems as if our season would delay? How many know it messes with our belief system? Amen. He said, because you didn't believe Zechariah, it's been a long time waiting on this promise to come to pass. Hallelujah. And people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. In other words, my Bible says he made signs. And it came to pass that as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now, my understanding is he had about a two-week stint that he would stay and minister in the temple in the holy place before he would go back to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So Zechariah comes out. He can't even say to the people, he can't explain to them what's been going on, what's been happening, and what's transpired in the last week or so of his life. But now it's time to go home. And he said, your wife Elizabeth's going to conceive. Now, I don't know, but I like to get a picture in my mind of what's happening in this, you know, just like, because they're just people just like us. Amen? And so Zach's got to go home now. I don't know if he rides the camel, the donkey. I don't know if he goes home by foot. I don't even know how long it takes till he gets there. But I'm pretty sure I know what's on his mind when he leaves the temple. Yeah. I got to somehow tell my wife Elizabeth what that angel Gabriel just said to me. Somehow or another, I got to tell her I had a visitation from. an angel stop by offering incense in the temple. Angel. I was fearful. And he said, you and I are going to have a baby. Somehow, I got to get Miss Elizabeth on board with what God is saying to me in my house. Now, let me just say this very diplomatically. How many know if we are not in agreement and in one accord of what God's purpose in our house to be, things are not going to happen like they need to happen. There has to be a coming together. There has to be uniting of hearts and minds and spirits and vision and destination. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes you just need to stand up and be the priest in your house and said, I heard from God today. I mean, if ever there's a day that we need men to stand up in the house and be the priest of the house and say, I heard from God today, it's in this day and in this season. And not just men, but how many know Elizabeth is involved in this also? But how many know when God begins to speak, number one, if barrenness is happening in your house, you need to inquire of God. You need to seek God and say, what do we need to do to bring forth fruitfulness in our house? Hallelujah. But how many know he goes back home to Elizabeth and he's got to convince her somehow or let her know, I had a visitation from an angel and this is what he said. We're going to have a baby. His name's going to be John and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Now, maybe he had to say it by words or maybe it was just by actions. But let me tell you what, something happened in the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth that probably hadn't happened for a time and for a season. But God used something that looked like it was beyond its day and already passed in a season of barrenness to bring forth the miraculous. And the scripture said, and Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months after she conceived. Now, I'm not thinking that she's hiding herself because she doesn't want anybody to know, because the scripture says, I'm about to take away her reproach among men. How many know in this day and season, if you did not have an heir, especially a male child, it was a reproach on you, and she could be left as a widow, homeless, and without provision. So this is a good thing that's happening to Elizabeth. Here's why I think she hides herself. Because I don't want anybody else speaking negativity in my life or saying anything other than what I know to be true until God performs what he said that he would do. How many know sometimes you got to just either hook up with somebody who's hearing the same thing as you, which was Zechariah, and sometimes you got to turn your ear off from somebody else who wants to speak negativity or be dream crushers. How many know sometimes people will talk you right out of what God wants to do in your life. Well, I don't know. I don't know if God's in that. What are you going to do about the finances? What are you going to do about the money? I mean, you know, we start questioning. We start saying all the reasons why God can't do it. We start saying, well, I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too hurt. I'm too broke. I don't have benefits. I don't have accessibility. I can't do this. And we convince ourselves with all the I can'ts. I mean, you know, sometimes you just need to hide yourself for a season and say, I don't want to hear. Zechariah's not talking, and I'm not talking. I'm going to hang out with people. I'm just going to just not hang out with people until God performs what he says he can do, and I'm not letting anybody talk me out of my miracle. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, and so she hid herself 5 months. And I'll get into Mary and Elizabeth next week, but I got to hit it a little bit here. How many know back in those days, you didn't have ultrasounds? You didn't even have them little sticks. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You didn't have any predictors. You know, you didn't have all those things we have today where you go and they listen to the heartbeat and they tell you that, yeah, you're this so far along and they make all those predictions. How many know back in the day when your time of life or your cycle ceased, you knew that you were with child? Amen? But if you haven't been having a cycle, you don't have any predictors. Are you following me? So she hides herself for 5 months until she gets a visitation from a cousin named Mary who shows up at her doorstep and he says, Mary, God's about to do something miraculous in you, and if you don't believe it, go find your cousin Elizabeth because she's already had a visitation and she herself is with child. And Mary says, I got to go connect with somebody who believes what I believe. I got to connect with somebody who's got the same thing happening to them that's happening in me. God is doing something inside of me. I got to connect with somebody who's going to believe that God said to me what he said to me. And the scripture says she goes to see Elizabeth. And when she gets to the house of Elizabeth, Elizabeth hears her coming. At the manner of her salutation, the scripture said, Hail, mother, the mother of my Lord has come to me, because at the sound of your voice, Mary, at the sound of your salutation, when I heard your voice, thy babe leaped inside my womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost. I have connected to somebody who's got something stirring inside of them, and God's about to do the miraculous, and he picked me to do it. Can I tell you this morning, God wants to do the miraculous in you, and he wants to pick you to do it. Hallelujah. You're more powerful than you know. You got more in you than you know. Hallelujah. Your influence is more powerful than you know. You have the ability to touch lives and people all around you and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Life-changing experiences. Hallelujah. But it's not till the sound of Mary's voice that Elizabeth feels that baby jump in her womb. And she said, I might have doubted it on month one. And on month two, and three, and four, and five. But when Mary came, something happened in me, and my baby began to leap. My baby began to move. My baby began to kick. And there's no doubt in my mind that God has done to me what he said that he would do. Hallelujah. That he has brought into my womb life. Hallelujah. And skip on over there. We're going to go over to verse 57. Said, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by his name. And they made signs to his father how that he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So Elizabeth's time, her full time, the scripture said, when the fullness of time had come, Elizabeth brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins, I say cousins party, heard how the Lord showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass when she came to have him circumcised, they were going to call his name Zechariah. And she said, not so, his name shall be called John. How many know the name John means grace or favor? Grace or favor. What God has done in this portion of scripture is silence the last of the old order priesthood and prophets. And the only thing they're going to be able to declare in this day, in this season, is grace and favor. And when they began to speak grace and favor, the scripture said his tongue was loosed. He was no longer silenced. How many are thankful that God is silencing an old order priesthood that's all about works and laws and duties and animal sacrifice? How many know the very temple they were going to stand in, that lamb that was being offered in that temple, that incense that was coming up, God said, began to say, you're going to become my habitation in my temple, and they're not even this old natural system is going to stand, and I'm about to silence that old order priesthood. priesthood and usher in a new day, and you're going to call him John. You're going to call it grace, and you're going to call it favor. Don't you let anybody else call it Zachariah Jr. Don't you let them call it the Levitical priesthood. Don't you let them call it old order, old testament, old systems, law, and works-based. Go ahead and call it grace. Call it favor, because I'm about to usher in the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the favor of God. And old order voices are being silenced, and I'm about to release grace and truth and favor on God's people. Hallelujah. You can call it what you want to call it, but don't you let anybody else name your baby. Don't you let them name your promise. Don't you let them name your vision. Don't you let them name your destiny. Don't you let them call you, oh, that's Jack House's daughter. That's Bacon's daughter. I mean, if you knew my dad when he was called Bacon, you'd know he was a different man than the man that started this house. My dad came from Rotten Row. My mom and dad grew up in beer joints and all of that kind of lifestyle. But how many know they didn't call us after that order? They called us after a new order, because when the grace of God came into our life and God supernaturally changed an alcoholic and a girl who was raised in a bar, how many know they don't call us after that name anymore? But they call us after grace and favor, because God's grace and divine favor supernaturally stepped in the middle of our barren situation and brought forth life out of what seemed like it was dead and barren, because I had a grandmother who offered incense. I had two grandmothers that offered incense unto the Lord and said, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, until God brought forth out of our barrenness life and grace and favor. Hallelujah. And I will not let you name my baby anything other than what God calls it and what God is birthing in me. You can try to name it old order. You can try to call it Zachariah Jr. You can try to say it's cursed. You can try to say they'll never amount to anything. But I say, if God has laid his hand on it, God will birth out of you what he said he would do, and he will bring forth grace and favor in your life. It is your season. Anybody in here believe it is your season of grace and favor? Hallelujah. And when he began to speak grace and favor, his tongue was loosed. Hallelujah. And how many know John the Baptist come prophesying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Hallelujah. Repent. For the repentance of sin, he said, I indeed can baptize you with water, but there is one who is coming who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many know John never prophesied or preached the old order system? He said, there's one coming. And when Jesus walked up on the shore of Jordan that day, and John looked up through the crowd and said, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The fullness of time has come, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is before us. And then John says, and he must increase, and I must decrease. I have come to usher in everything that God said that you could have in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son, born of the woman, born under the law, that he might could redeem them from the curse of the law. I mean, the law was all about curses and works and frets and effort and a spotless lamb. Thank God none of you had to bring a lamb here to church with you this morning, unless you roasted it for the dinner afterwards. Hallelujah. You didn't have to go lasso your perfect lamb and bring it today. Why? Because the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was offered for you on a cross called Calvary, that you might have grace and favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. And so he released his tongue. His mouth opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all them that dwelt about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah's tongue loose, and he speaks and begins to prophesy. And Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. How many know what Zechariah said once his voice, once his tongue was loose, was nothing but mercy and goodness and redemption that God was about to do for his people? Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning that God has silenced an old order, an old priesthood, and has ushered in grace and favor. We sang it about this morning, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. How many know the fullness of time had come? And God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. How many are thankful that you don't have to live under curses today? We don't have to live under that old works-based system, but now we have an indwelling Savior who lives and resides inside of us and works, as we sang this morning, from the inside out. Hallelujah. From the inside out. Praise God. Stand with me this morning. How many know there's a lot of people in the scriptures that they tried to call by another name? Jacob's name meant trickster, deceiver. But God changed his name to Israel, which means a prince with God. They called Peter Simon first, but God changed his name to Peter, the rock. Hallelujah. Naomi said, call me Mara, call me bitterness. How many know God has something better in mind for Naomi? Hallelujah. When God changes your name, he also changes your nature. Hallelujah. He also changes your nature. I'm thankful this morning that grace came. Call his name John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.